Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Monday, November 10, 2025. We're going to have news, we're gonna have some music, we're gonna have an anniversary that we want to mark today, which is Tradition Day, because today is the birth anniversary of José Hernández, who wrote the most important book in the history of Argentine literature, the Martín Fierro, a story about a gaucho. And today we'll be summarizing this book and explaining why it's so important for Argentines, why it is considered to be an essential part of the cultural identity of Argentines still today. It's such so much more than a mere book, and we'll be going over some of the highlights of this book, and I'll try to explain why it's so important and why these characters, because we'll describe some of the most important characters, why are so endearing to the Argentine population. And we'll be listening to some samba music from the Pampas to put us in the right mood to talk about gaucho-related topics. If you want to get in touch with us, folks, send an email to qslri@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street, 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are DXer. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, frequency 5,850 kilohertz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar, plus our app for mobile devices that you can download for free, Digital Rae. On today's program, we'll also have the artist of the day, Aníbal Troilo, the bandoneon of tango, arguably the most important bandoneon player in the history of the genre, and we'll have also a feature on Pope Francis on this special year that is about to come to an end, in which a year of 2025 that will be remembered as the final year of Pope Francis, who passed away last April. But that will come later on today's program. Let's start with the first song of our playlist, and it's going to be a cumbia song by the late singer Gilda that had a massive success in the mid-1990s before dying tragically in a car crash at the peak of her fame. This is a song called Fuiste, which is a very slang way of saying you're done, you're over, I'm done with you, like you're finished. That's it, you're finished, Fuiste.
Mi caja de tu estúpido cariño. eso fuiste, pero perdiste. Fuiste mi orgullo, fuiste mi verdad, y también fuiste mi felicidad. Todo eso fuiste, pero perdiste.
Argentina vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina to the world presents. Aníbal Troilo, Buenos Aires Bandoneon, par excellence. Although he was not a renovator or a vanguardist, as it was the case with the worldwide renowned Astor Piazzolla, Aníbal Troilo was one of the three or four most famous tango musicians headed by Carlos Gardel. That's why he also merited the nickname of the best bandoneon of Buenos Aires, although he also composed and conducted. Aníbal Troilo was born in Buenos Aires in 1914, when tango was becoming popular, and Carlos Gardel and the orchestras of Julio De Caro, Osvaldo Fresedo, and Juan Carlos Cobian were already very popular. His first contact with the bandoneon was when he became 10. And his enthusiasm and insistence was so strong that his mother agreed to buy him one. In installments, of course. Troilo said the first time he saw a bandoneon was during a picnic and after hearing it being played. He could not prevent himself from taking it and putting it on his lap at the first opportunity he had. He liked it so much, he used to play with his pillow, believing it was the instrument he loved. He was 10 when his mother bought him his first bandoneon. And after some private lessons, he made his first presentation in public at the age of 11. Shortly afterwards, he became to integrate the main tango orchestras of the time, such as De Caro's and Cobian's, or the Sextet by Osvaldo Pugliese. He also took lessons with important bandoneon players, such as Maestro Pedro Mafia, and shared the stage with other icon of the time, Ciriaco Ortiz.
Thank you.
After taking part in different tango groups in 1937, Aníbal Troilo presented its own orchestra. It was at the Maribou nightclub, outside which a sign announced, "Today, debut, Aníbal Troilo and his orchestra." And another sign underneath completed the idea. "Everybody to the Maribou, the best tango nightclub, where Pichuco and his orchestra will make you dance good tangos." And the truth is that since that first presentation, the Aníbal Troilo's orchestra never stopped playing and recording, entertaining in front of a public that would rather listen to him than dance. Apart from a remarkable performer and conductor, Troilo also authored more than 60 pieces, among which Pa' que bailen los muchachos. Great bandoneonist and great composer. And accompanying his talent, his intelligence at the time of choosing lyricists, great poets, as per Horacio Salas' words.
Aníbal Troilo era una persona que tenía además de ser...
Writer Horacio Salas says that Aníbal Troilo, apart from being a musical genius, was very intelligent and used to remark that good poets such as Homero Manzi, Homero Espósito, Cátulo Castillo, Enrique Cadícamo were a must, since they gave a strong impulse to tango and people identified themselves with the lyrics they wrote.
Con sus letras hicieron que la gente...
And of all his lyricists, there's special mention of Homero Manzi, also a great friend of his. The first joint work became Troilo and Manzi dates back to 1943. It was the popular Barrio de Tango, Tango Neighborhood, followed by Romance de Barrio, Neighborhood Romance, Che Bandoneon, Discepolin, and of course, South, Sur. Journalist and musician Antonio Rodríguez Villar talks about Sur, South.
El tango en sí es una gloria.
The tango sur in itself is a glory, says his specialist Rodríguez Villar, who considered the duo Troilo and Mansi was an excellent match and coincided with the talent of a singer like Edmundo Rivero.
Pero además se junta, coincide.
As conductor, Troilo selected the best musicians and the best interpreters that matched the orchestra style that identified him. And of the long list of singers that sang under his direction, we can mention Francisco Fiorentino, Roberto Goyeneche, Floreal Ruiz, and the already mentioned Edmundo Rivero, later remarkable soloist, for whom Troilo's orchestra was decisive. Here are some memories.
Yo creo que él les enseñó a cantar tango.
I believe Troilo taught them to sing tangos. He used to teach singers to sing. He may have been a frustrated singer himself. I always said that musicians and singers had to go through Troilo's orchestra for some time. He marked them the weak points, sang the compositions to the interpreters. He always respected interpreters. There's a famous phrase he used to announce: when the singer comes in, the orchestra lies down.
Hacer un pequeño paréntesis.
Aníbal Troilo passed away in 1975. During half a century of musical career, he could start a long and daring relationship with his public that brought him a huge popularity. With his orchestra and less numerous bands, he left 485 recordings, some of them anthological, like the one he did with bandoneon player Astor Piazzolla and guitarist Roberto Grela. Among his first compositions, whose lyrics were authored by poet José María Contursi, we can mention Toda mi vida, All My Life, played by Troilo and interpreted by Roberto Goyeneche.
Después de tanto tiempo de no verte, de no hablarte, ya cansado de buscarte, siempre, siempre. Siento que me voy muriendo por tu olvido lentamente, y en el frío de mi mente tus besos no dejará. Sé que mucho me has querido, tanto, tanto como yo, pero en cambio yo he sufrido de mucho, mucho más que vos. No sé por qué te perdí, tampoco sé cuándo fue, pero a tu lado dejé toda mi vida. Y hoy que estás lejos de mí y has conseguido olvidar, soy un pasaje de tu vida en nada más. Es tan poco lo que falta para irme con la muerte. Ya mis ojos no han de verte nunca, nunca. Y si un día por mi culpa una lágrima vertiste, porque tanto me quisiste, sé que me perdonarás. Sé que mucho me has querido, tanto, tanto como yo, pero en cambio yo he sufrido mucho más que vos. No sé por qué te perdí, tampoco sé cuándo fue, pero a tu lado dejé toda mi vida. Y hoy que estás lejos de mí y has conseguido olvidar, soy un pasaje de tu vida en nada. nada más.
RAE, Argentina to the World, presented. Aníbal Troilo, Buenos Aires Bandoneon, par excellence. Production, Julieta Galván. Technical Operation, Diego Rosato. Edition, Julián Carballo. Your host, Miriam Turcula.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, hacia el mundo.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, a feature on Martín Fierro, the most important book in Argentine literature and an essential part of the cultural identity of Argentines. And we are going to be doing this because today is the birth anniversary of its author, its writer, José Hernández. And for that reason, we mark Tradition Day in Argentina today because Martín Fierro is the story of a gaucho, which is a character that all around the world kind of represents Argentina as kind of a cowboy of Argentina. Not exactly the same, but, well, comparable. But that will be after listening to some music. And we're going to play something by an Argentine band that was performed this past weekend by a British artist, a global star. I'm talking about Dua Lipa, who is in the country, or was in the country, for a couple of concerts at River Plate Stadium. Filled arena, filled football stadium with fans that absolutely love her and demonstrated that affection, chanting all of the songs to the extent of impressing the artist with their energy. We have spoken about this numerous times. Argentine audiences in particular are very special, and artists of all genres are impressed by that, are touched by that. You have audiences singing not just lyrics, but accompanying the music, instrumental parts, singing the guitar solos or the riffs or any instrumental part that identify the song. That kind of energy, well, an artist like Dua Lipa really loved. And she was on the news during this past few days because not only she gave these performances at the River Plate Stadium, but she's been around town going to some famous restaurants here in Buenos Aires. And yesterday she went to Boca Juniors Stadium to attend the most important football game of the year, the Super Clásico, the Super Derby between Boca and River at Boca Juniors Stadium, in which Boca, the home side, won solidly, defeating River 2-0 with great football level, and kind of humiliating their rivals. And Dua Lipa was there watching the game wearing an Argentine jersey. And she even got to meet the icon or the legend of Boca Juniors, current president of the institution, Juan Román Riquelme. There's a picture of both of them shaking hands. And another Argentine thing that Dua Lipa did this past weekend was to perform songs of Argentine bands. On Friday, on the first concert, she played the Música Ligera, a song by Soda Stereo, which had been already performed by Chris Martin of Coldplay a couple of times. Wasn't very original in that regard, But the following day, on Saturday, Dua Lipa performed the song of Argentine pop group, synth pop group, Miranda, which is more in her style. And well, this is the song we're gonna be playing now. Tu misterioso alguien, your mysterious somebody, by Miranda, which was played by Dua Lipa this past Saturday in Buenos Aires.
Hay alguien en tu vida que está transformándote. Hay alguien que ha cambiado en ti la forma en que te ves. Hay alguien nuevo que se apareció y que tu corazón robó. Ya lo sé, solo dime quién es. ¿Quién es tu nuevo amor, tu nueva ocupación, tu misterioso alguien? ¿A quién has ocultado de mí todo el tiempo para no matarme? ¿Quién es tu seductor, tu rey y tu peón, quien ocupa el lugar que siempre ocupe yo? Tu misterioso alguien me...
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
on RAE, Understanding Us. On this edition of Understanding Us, which is devoted to explaining Argentine culture and Argentine identity, we're going to talk about Martín Fierro. And there are few works as deeply rooted in the Argentine identity as Martín Fierro, the epic gaucho poem written by José Hernández and published in two parts, the first one in 1872 and the second one in 1879. It is not just a poem, it is the voice of a vanished world, the gaucho world of the Pampas and its struggle for identity. Hernández was born in Buenos Aires province in 1834 and grew up close to the frontier where gauchos, soldiers, and settlers share the land and its tensions. He witnessed the transformation of Argentina, its railways, its laws, its modernizing impulse, and how that left little room for the free wandering gaucho. Through Martín Fierro, he gave a voice. He gave them, the gauchos, a voice. In El Gaucho Martín Fierro, the original story, the protagonist, obviously named Martín Fierro, is a poor gaucho who is drafted into the militia to defend the frontier against native people's incursions, thus forcing him to leave his home, his wife, and his children. After several years, he deserts and he returns home only to find his world destroyed. He then becomes an outlaw and is pursued by the militia. In one knife duel, he kills a man and he flees. In the course of the flight, he is joined by Sergeant Cruz, who defects and becomes a companion in the wilderness. In the sequel, La Vuelta de Martín Fierro, The Return of Martín Fierro, the story deepens. Fierro lives among the indigenous, is partly captive, he suffers epidemic and misfortune, and at the end, reaches a reunion with his surviving sons. And he also meets the orphan son of Cruz. Around the fire, evening, the advice is passed. Fierro teaches his children and that of Cruz about honor, about independence, about self-respect. And before the end of the story, they all part ways. During his stay with the indigenous, he comes to observe and admire their horsemanship, how they train and treat their animals. And this episode allows Hernández to transcend frontier hostility and show mutual respect between the cultures. Let's go over the characters. Martín Fierro is the gaucho outlaw and the central figure of the poem. Fierro is the voice of the marginalized man of the Pampas, brave, proud, rebellious, and loyal to his sense of justice. Through his words, Hernández defends the dignity of those pushed aside by the new Argentina. Then you have his best friend, Sergeant Cruz. Originally one of the soldiers sent to capture Fierro, Cruz is moved by the injustice of the pursuit. In a dramatic turn, he switches sides to defend the fugitive, declaring something along the lines, "I'd rather die with a man like this than live among cowards." The two become inseparable companions until Cruz's death from measles while hiding among the indigenous people. Then you also have El Viejo Vizcacha, the old Vizcacha, or you could also say the old rat. He's the opposite of Fierro, cunning, practical, and shamelessly opportunistic. Where Fierro represents integrity and courage, Vizcacha represents survival through trickery. His advice to the young Picardía, the son of Cruz that he becomes a protector of, is "Hacete amigo del juez," be friendly with the judge. And this shows a man who seeks advantage through submission to authority. Picardía is a clever, mischievous youth who joins the final gathering of Fierro and his sons. He receives advice both from the cynical Vizcacha and from Fierro himself, embodying the younger generation trying to find its moral path between these two models. De Moreno is a proud Afro-Argentine singer who challenges Martín Fierro to a payada, a poetic duel. The two exchange verses, each testing the other's wit and skill, until their rivalry turns violent and ends in a knife fight in which Fierro kills him. The Cacique is the leader of the indigenous group that captures Fierro and Cruz. Though initially Fierro's enemy, he later becomes a symbol of another code of honor. Fierro comes to respect the Cacique's authority and the skill of his horsemen, recognizing their humanity and their deep bond with nature. The captive woman is a mysterious woman held among the indigenous who embodies the human cost of frontier wars. She gives Fierro and Cruz a glimpse into the suffering and displacement caused by the border conflict, and her story helps Fierro develop a more complex view of the so-called enemy. You have Martín Fierro's sons as well, two young men who grew up in hardship after their father's disappearance. And when they finally meet Fierro again, he shares his experience and his moral teachings to stay united, to be brave, and to live honestly. Martín Fierro became a cornerstone of Argentine culture, a national epic that captures a disappearing way of life, the moral codes of the Pampas and the Gauchos' place in a changing nation. Let us share now some top quotes from Martín Fierro, quotes that you would find being said in everyday conversations still today. You know, people would tell you, yeah, like Martín Fierro used to say, or like you would find on the Martín Fierro book. No, it's kind of a Bible somehow for us. So here's a quote from Martín Fierro, the character. Los hermanos sean unidos, porque esa es la ley primera. Brothers must stand united, for that is the first law. El viejo Vizcacha says, hacete amigo del juez, no le des de qué quejarse. Be friendly with the judge. Give him no reason to complain. Martín Fierro, and this is a great one. El diablo sabe por diablo, pero más sabe por viejo. The devil knows by being the devil, but he knows even more by being old. Sergeant Cruz says, a los blandos se los come el tigre. The soft ones get eaten by the tiger. Martín Fierro also says, el trabajar es la ley porque es preciso el que vive. To work is the law, for it is necessary for the one who lives. And finally, another one by Martín Fierro. Es mejor que aprender mucho el aprender cosas buenas. It is better to learn good things than to learn many things. Martín Fierro remains a living text. It is taught in schools, cited in political speeches, remembered in popular culture. The gaucho, once dismissed as rustic or obsolete, has become a foundational symbol of Argentine identity. Proud, free, loyal to his word. Hernández's work didn't just mourn the disappearance of the gaucho. It defended its legacy.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina to the world presents 10 Argentines who touched the world. Today, Pope Francis from South America, a voice of hope for the 21st century. The Church might be the most perfect hierarchical structure of the last millennia. From bottom to top, there is an intricate network of tasks and players. And in the Vatican, there's the Pope, the leader of the Catholics. The election of Jorge Bergoglio, Archbishop of Buenos Aires' new head of the Catholic Church, was a turning point in the history of the West, and probably of the world.
Buonasera. Fratelli e sorelle.
Brothers and sisters, good evening.
Buonasera. Voi sapete dare un vescovo a Roma.
I am grateful for this welcome. It seems my cardinal brothers wanted to give Rome a bishop, and they went looking for him to the end of the world. His peers chose an austere, down-to-earth, frank man amid scandals in the church over child abuse, corruption, money laundering, and in the context of a growing split between the leadership and grass and roots priests. Francis I, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, a South American Jesuit arriving to change the face of the church in the dawn of the 21st century, to assert, mistakenly, that Francis is a political pontiff means ignoring John Paul II's active campaigning against communism or the Nazi sympathies of Benedict XVI during the latter's youth.
Thank you.
Bergoglio is a Peronist. He was born in 1936, son of a father who fled Mussolini's Italy, who was 19 when the Argentine church supported the bombing of civilians in Plaza de Mayo, central Buenos Aires. He wasn't even 20 when the military regime killed people by firing squad during a Peronist uprising in 1956. A cousin of his was murdered then, and that's a mark the current Pope has carried all his life. A big fan of tango music and a passionate supporter of San Lorenzo de Almagro, a football club in Buenos Aires, he's got a diploma as a chemical technician. Even before finishing his seminar to become a priest and being ordained as a priest in 1969, he was a spiritual advisor of young political activists. Around those years, he studied theology with a famous Jesuit linked to liberation theology. We're talking of the religious order that had been expelled from the Americas during the Spanish dominion in the 18th century. We know that the Pope lived in a small apartment in Buenos Aires, that he gave up the right to having a driver when he became a cardinal, that he used public transportation and he cooked his own food, that he had mate with his newspaper vendor. He also enjoys opera, reading Jorge Luis Borges and Fyodor Dostoevsky. Bergoglio has been always a firm supporter of the fight against human trafficking and organized prostitution. He also backed every single demonstration of the almost 200 families that lost relatives in the massive fire of the Cro-Magnon nightclub in 2004. He was a regular visitor of prisons and was a vocal opponent to abortion and same-sex marriage. As a pope, he was able to stop the bombing of Syria the NATO was about to launch, and he repeatedly says his papacy is focused on the needy. In October 2014, the pontiff closed a world encounter of popular organizations in the Vatican, and he made the following statement then. I am with you because you are victims of inequality and exclusion. Loving the poor is a core guideline of the gospel and the church's social doctrine. It is weird that the call for land, housing, and work for everybody some people deem a communist belief. This is the same Francis who, during a visit to Bolivia, apologized for the crimes of the Catholic Church against the native South Americans during the Spanish conquest and dominion. He also met with Patriarch Kirill in the first encounter in 10 centuries between the heads of the Catholic and the Russian Orthodox Church. In June 2016, the pontiff honored the victims of the Armenian genocide in 1915 and met with the head of the Armenian church, Karekin II. He also received in the Vatican the Sunni Imam of Al-Azhar Islamic University in El Cairo that had cut ties with Rome back in 2011. Francis didn't pick his papal name just randomly. On his most important document, the encyclical called Laudato Si, concerning the care of the common house, published in June 2015, he assured, "I believe Francis of Assisi is the par excellence example of looking after the weak and protecting the environment. He is the protector of those who care about the planet, and he's also loved by non-Christians."
Señor, ten piedad de nosotros.
The urgent challenge to protect our common home includes a concern to bring the whole human family together to seek a sustainable and integral development, for we know that things can change. This sister of us, the Earth, is demanding for the damage inflicted by us due to the irresponsible use and abuse of the riches God put on her. We've grown up thinking we were her owners, that we had the right to bleed it dry. To blame excess population and not extreme consumerism means ignoring real problems. There's a pretense to legitimize the current distribution model, for a minority thinks it has the right to consume resources in a proportion that would be unsustainable if everybody on Earth did and consume at the same rate.
Santo, 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 Señor, Dios del universo, Santo, 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 Señor, Dios del universo, llenos están los cielos y la tierra de tu gloria, llenos están los cielos.
Francis' message goes along the paths of truth. It's not a comfortable message. Be it in Africa, the Philippines, among the youth in Brazil, or when millions hit the streets of Washington, New York, and Philadelphia in the US to see him back in 2015, and the American Capitol, the Parliament, gave him a standing ovation, with many lawmakers unable to hold back their tears. Message with 80 years of age leaves some questions to be answered. Some of them could be in the sensitive and humanitarian view of that young man, son of immigrants, of a neighborhood in Buenos Aires, at, as he put it when he was named Pope, the end of the world. And with that piece devoted to Pope Francis, that obviously was produced before his death, this year in April 2025, we come to the end of today's edition of RAI in English for Monday, November 10, 2025. Our sound technician was Walter Danesi, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Hasta mañana.